Well, good morning, everybody. If you're expecting Steve Robinson, then I do apologise, but apparently he's having a hip operation. And so brother Kevin Sweeney rugby tackled me the other day and said, any chance? So you got me. Anyway, good to see you, brothers and sisters. So Bible teaching about heaven and hell. What we want to try and do is firstly talk and determine what the Bible teaches about souls, what the Bible teaches about sin and also death. Then, having established that, we'll consider what the Bible actually teaches about this subject, heaven and hell. Because collectively, if we bring all those things together, then we'll be able to determine what the Bible says about what happens after death. So, the soul. And I've put one or two pictures on the screen, you can see in terms of all sorts of beliefs over the ages about this particular topic. Because there you've got traditional teaching from man. Because in many religions, the soul is believed to be immortal, ever living. For example, the Catholic theologian Thomas Aquinas attributed the soul to all organisms, but he taught that only human souls are immortal. Other religions, including Jainism and Hinduism, teach that all biological organisms have souls, whilst others teach that even non-biological entities, such as rivers and mountains, possess souls. There was an incident in a mountain in Malaysia just about a week or two ago that's hit the press. You'll know about it. But that is not what the Bible teaches. Greek philosophers, what did they teach? Well, Socrates and Plato. Everybody's heard of them. Key philosophers, teachers. 2,000 years ago, what did they believe? What did they teach? Well, they considered souls to be an eternal occupant of our being. Socrates said that even after death, the soul exists, and furthermore, it's able to think. And he also believed that as bodies die, the soul is continually reborn in subsequent bodies. Plato believed that as well. But he thought that only one part of the soul was immortal. He thought that the soul comprised of three parts: mind or reason, emotion, desire. This is not what the Bible teaches. Traditional Christian teaching. Because according to many Christian denominations, when people die, their souls will be judged by God, and then they'll spend an eternity up there or down there. Up there they define as heaven, down there as hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. So, what does God's word teach us about this subject? Well, first of all, the soul. We read in Genesis chapter 2, at the time of the creation, these words. And the Lord God formed of the dust of the ground and man of the dust of the ground and breathed into that man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2, verse 7. That word soul simply means living beings, living creatures. In other words, after man was formed from the dust of the ground, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then, and only then, he became a living being, a living creature. The fact is that nowhere in the Word of God are the words immortal and soul brought together. And nowhere in the Bible is there any suggestion that souls continue to live after death. Psalm 49 records these words: "Man being in honour abideth not, he is like the beasts that perish." So in terms of death, man is therefore like the animals, fish, birds, insects. When we die, every part of us dies. So where do human beings, animals, birds and fish go when they die? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 3. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 19. "For that which befalleth," or happens, "the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence or advantage above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again." Quite clear. Because what verse 19 is telling us, therefore, is that all animals and people have the same breath, but notice in verse 20, all turn to dust again. And that echoes the punishment back in the time of Genesis that was upon Adam and Eve. Namely, because of sin, death passed upon all men and women. So what about God's sin, God's punishment and sin? Well, in the beginning we read in Genesis about a very clear commandment from our Creator. We read in Genesis 2, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And we know from the Genesis record that Adam and Eve chose to disobey their Maker, and the punishment of death followed. Genesis 3:19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground." We read that in Ecclesiastes 3. "For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And that's confirmed in the New Testament, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man," that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The word of God is very clear that the punishment for sin is death. But there is hope. Hope for the faithful, as we'll shortly see. So, soul, true Bible teaching, some other Bible passages to consider. If you're listing them down, Ezekiel 18 verse 4 records, "The soul that sins, it shall die." Well, that's quite clear. All of us sin, therefore God's punishment is death. Speaking about death, the psalmist records some words about mankind. "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." Matthew 26, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words as his crucifixion drew near. He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." The Son of God. So although the Bible tells us that Jesus did no sin, he nevertheless laid down his life as the supreme sacrifice, so that the faithful could have hope of life after death. And a verse from Romans chapter 6 verse 23 confirms that. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Right, so having established that as the foundation, the groundwork, what about heaven? What do we learn about heaven? Well, let's talk about false teaching, first of all. And there's some images some people believe. And I'll tell you now, I wasn't brought up in a Christadelphian family, and I was taught that is what happens if you be a very good chap. Up you go. Many religions that speak about heaven differ on how and if one gets into it, either in some form of afterlife or while still alive. And in many religions, entrance to heaven is conditional on having lived a good life. That is not what the Bible teaches very clearly. So what does the Bible teach about heaven? What is heaven? Well, the Bible tells us some important facts, including what the psalmist recorded. We read this in Psalm 115. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Matthew 5:34. In the book of Acts, we read how Jesus Christ, God's Son, was taken up into heaven, but he will soon return to the earth. Think about that Psalm 115. The earth, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. And you've got a reference in that Acts 1:11 to both heaven and earth, where Christ sits in heaven, but he's going to come back to the earth. In John's Gospel, we read that other than the Lord Jesus Christ, no one has ascended into heaven. John 3:13. The fact is, true Bible teaching says that the heaven is God's dwelling place, not ours. God has not and does not invite us to join him in heaven, either before death or afterwards. So who then is in heaven? Well, the Lord God. We've established that. Heaven is his abiding place. And that's emphasised in a prayer of Solomon. I'd like us to come to 1 Kings chapter 8, please. Because this really emphasises that heaven is the dwelling place of God. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Move to verse 30. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Move on to verse 39. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou even thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men. Verse 43. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. So the Lord God is in heaven, but the angels are there also. And I won't go to these references, but if you want them, Genesis 28:12, Matthew 22:30, and Mark 13:32. And of course, there are others. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is there because he ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. Psalm 110 verse 1, Mark 16:19, and confirmed in that passage that we looked at Acts 1:11. No one else has gone up to heaven. John 3:13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Psalm 115 again, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. And one of the things that we often talk about from the platform is what happened to King David when he died. Let's come to the New Testament and Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse 29. This is the Apostle Peter speaking these inspired words. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. Patriarch is a term of respect. That he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Now come to verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. That's very, very clear. David is not ascended into the heavens. And he was a man after God's own heart. Well, you think if anybody was going to go up to heaven other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then he's the man. But he didn't. And Acts 2, 34 and 35 also confirms a prophecy that was made about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2 records how Jesus is in heaven now and that he will one day return to this earth. We read in those verses, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples how to pray. And he included these words in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So it's the earth that is man's inheritance. The Bible teaches that clearly, that it is not heaven, it is earth. Earth is God's promised reward for the faithful. In Psalm 37 we read, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. And Isaiah 45, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ picks up that Psalm 37 in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Lifting it straight out of that psalm in Psalm 37. So, hell. What does the Bible teach about it? And again, some images there that some people relate to hell. Traditional teaching? Well, in many mythological folklore and religious traditions, hell is a place of eternal torment in an afterlife. Teaching includes that punishment in hell typically corresponds to sins committed during life. And sometimes these distinctions are specific, with damned souls suffering for each sin committed. And in many religious cultures, hell is traditionally depicted as fiery, painful, inflicting guilt and suffering upon those that go there. This is not Bible teaching. True Bible teaching. True meaning of the word. Nothing to do with the place of fiery torments for the wicked. Yes, the word hell is found in the word of God. And in most cases, it means the grave. or covered place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word Sheol is used, and it means the grave. Isaiah chapter 5 is in a good example of this, which is referring to disobedient Israel. Just come to Isaiah 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honourable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell, Sheol, hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. There's the word Sheol, hell, appearing as it does in the Old Testament, a good example. And then we've got this man called Jonah. Now most people have heard of Jonah, but did they know he went to hell? Well, the Bible says he does. He did, rather. So again, the prophet Jonah, we have that word Sheol, hell, to tell us that he was in the belly of a great fish. Read some words from Jonah chapter 1 and 2. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So he was alive. Because it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Sheol, same word as we've just referred to. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. What about the New Testament? Does it include the word hell? Yes, it does. There are three Greek words in the New Testament for the word hell. There's one in the Old, there's three in the New. The first is the word Hades, and it means grave. An example of that word is used in Acts chapter 2, where we read of where God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, went immediately after he died. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. You've probably got the system now. Every time you see a reference underlined, I want you to go to it. So Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And verse 27 is a reference there as to where the Lord Jesus Christ went after his crucifixion. It says he went to hell. We're going to comment about that in a moment. Now another word for hell in the New Testament is used just once, and it's the Greek word Tartarus. Just come with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. For if God spared not the angels, verse 4, that sinned, but cast them to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Well, the Greek word for hell here in verse 4 means the deepest part of the grave or covered place. And the angels being referred to are not God's angels, but they're human messengers, likely to be Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, as recorded in Numbers chapter 16. So Hades and Tartarus are translated as hell in the New Testament, but they both mean grave. Then we have a third word, and it's the word Gehenna. The word Gehenna refers to a name of a place, namely the Valley of Hinnom. And that was located outside of Jerusalem, and we know that from Joshua 18 verse 16 and 2 Chronicles 28 verse 3. It's a name of a place. Jerusalem's rubbish was emptied out and burnt there, including the dead bodies of criminals. And it's said that its fires were never allowed to go out. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this place in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew 5, verse 22. Lord Jesus Christ speaking about this place, Gehenna. Verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Gehenna. Verse 29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And what this is saying is that everyone in Jerusalem would know what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he spoke about the body being cast into hell and these references, because this place existed. It was the name of a place, the Valley of Hinnom, Gehenna. So in summary, what we've gleaned from the Old and New Testaments confirm that dead people, whether good or bad, therefore go to the grave. And the sad thing is that man has added pagan philosophy and tradition to many of their beliefs, which is simply not Bible truth. Just before we conclude, what happened to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he was crucified? The Bible tells us that after he was crucified, his dead body was placed in a tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, Matthew 27, 57 to 60. In so doing, we've learnt that Jesus' body was placed in a grave, Hades, hell. That's confirmed in Acts 2, 27, which quotes a prophecy from Psalm 16, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. In other words, it was prophetic that Jesus was going to be raised. Acts 2:31 then refers to the resurrection of the dead, which Jesus clearly had total confidence in, to be raised from the grave. Acts 1, please. Acts chapter 1. Keith told me I've got to sit down at 22, I'm on track. Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he was given, the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or crucifixion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts 13. And verse 28. I might need a couple of minutes of injury time, Keith. Right, Acts 13, 28. And though they found no cause of death in Jesus, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. So from those verses we can conclude that Jesus was crucified, he was dead for 3 days, he walked the earth for 40 days, and he then ascended to heaven, where he now sits at his Father's right hand awaiting return to the earth. Jesus Christ is the only one ever to have gone to heaven. And that's unlike what many people believe. Because when Jesus died, he didn't rise to heaven immediately. He was in the grave for 3 days. He was raised and then walked the earth for 40 days before his ascension. And I was brought up to believe that as soon as you pop your clogs, you're up there. That didn't happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see clearly the pattern, what happened. And there is hope of life after death. A faithful believer's death is likened to a sleep to be awakened when Jesus returns. There's an illustration of that in 1 Thessalonians 4. If you want the reference, it's there, verses 14 to 16, and it talks about the sleep of death. The resurrection, well, if we die before Christ returns, then we will all go to the grave, hell. But if we're faithful servants, we don't need to fear him, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. And when he returns to the earth, 1 Corinthians 15 records, death will be swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, Hades, where is thy victory? The chosen faithful will be blessed with everlasting life at the judgment when Christ returns to the earth. And he's coming back. There's the assurance that we have from the angel's declaration to the disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 11. Just as Jesus was taken up into heaven, he's going to come in like manner back to the Mount of Olives. Very clear message that Christ is coming back to the earth. Hope of the righteous, resurrection when Christ returns. Being accounted worthy at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to establish the kingdom of God upon this earth and will reign as king. And to be granted eternal life in the kingdom of God on earth is the hope of the righteous. What to do? That's but one slide. Believe in the message of the Bible. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's why belief is important, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Repent and be baptized. You can see the references there. One from the Lord Jesus Christ, one from the Apostle Peter. Seek first the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus Christ declared those words in Luke chapter 12. God created the earth for a purpose. Numbers 14:21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Let's always look to God's word, the Bible, for truth, and make all the necessary preparations and decisions in our own individual lives as we wait and prepare for Christ's second coming, when he returns to the earth with power and great glory. Thank you.